Welcome to the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza-Hillman and sponsored by the Stanford Inn Eco Resort on the Mendocino coast of California. Sid is a certified nutritionist, health coach, and author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, out now on Roundtree Press. Sid is also the programs director at the Stanford Inn's Mendocino Center for Living Well, one of the most holistic and integrated wellness centers in the country. The Approaching the Natural podcast explores all aspects of human health, including nutrition, movement, mindfulness, art, and much more.
Hello and welcome once again, everybody, small steppers around the world. This is the Approaching the Natural podcast. You heard the jingling of my coffee cup. Hear that? That's like the gong that begins the podcast. This is Sid Garza-Hillman, and thank you for joining me. Thank you for coming back. If you have been here before with me, if you're a first timer, welcome. This podcast, I come here every week and discuss my philosophy of health and happiness and all the ideas that come along with that. And my philosophy, if I had to encapsulate it, is that the closer we get to what is natural to us as a species, the better we do in this modern world. We are a natural species living in an unnatural world. If we can just start doing a little bit more of what works for us in terms of our design, the better we do. But with that said, I'm also the small step advocate. And that by that, I mean when you are going to make a transition, when you would like to make a transition, to change your life for the positive, and for the rest of your life, I always am going to advocate for small steps. And my small steps, I may not be the only one, but I'm the one advocating for probably the smallest steps around. And that is that when you decide to make a change, you have to figure out what steps are going to work for you such that you can do those every day. And sometimes that means a step so small that it almost seems inconsequential. It almost seems just useless, really. But the fact of the matter is when you add anything, no matter how small a step it is, you begin the process of thinking about your health and happiness every day. And that is the way you make change. And I'll go into that a little bit deeper, which I do every time. So if you're just joining me for the first time, I urge you to go back and listen to, from start from scratch, start from, day one and build back up. All right. So hope everybody's doing well and all that kind of stuff. I hope that you're trying things out. I will make suggestions here and give it a shot. Can't hurt. We do know that diets don't work. So that's something we know. Based on that knowledge, why not try something different? And something that maybe does work, you never know. Okay, so before I get rolling, I'm gonna take a sip of my espresso. And if you're just joining me, you'll learn a little bit about that too. It's a beauty. And a few announcements. So here we go. Quick, I'll whip through these. Facebook and Twitter, if you wanna follow me at Sid Garza-Hillman. Twitter and Instagram at Sid Garza-Hillman. Facebook is transitioning to health. My private practice where I work with people all over the country and could work with people all over the world, never have yet, but in the United States anyway, is transitioning to health.net, If any of y'all are interested, jump on there and throw me your email address and you can get a free download of the first chapter of my book. My book is Approaching the Natural, a Health Manifesto. I have a really unique and interesting way of working with my clients. It's not something you're going to find out there in the world, but it's what I think works and what I know works because I work with clients and it happens. So that's a good thing. This podcast is sponsored by the Stanford Inn. I'm actually taking off my green because it happens to be St. Patrick's Day, not probably when you're listening to this, but when I'm recording it. And have a green shirt on, which is way more festive than I ever get. And it was just because my kids woke up and go, happy St. Patrick's Day, because they're excited about any holiday, like even just one that does not have any relevance to them at all, like St. Patrick's Day to them. But they were like, St. Patrick's Day. And I was like, oh, yeah, great. And I looked down on my laundry pile, and there was my green shirt just on top. It was almost like St. Patrick was like, grab the shirt. But he probably had an actual Irish accent, which would have been you know, worked better. Anyway, I grabbed the shirt and I was like, I'm going to be the most festive guy at the wellness center. And I was. I was the only guy who had a green shirt on today at the Stanford Inn. Anyway, this podcast is sponsored by the Stanford Inn. It is an eco resort, and that is by every definition an eco resort. Includes a historic farm, organic farm, canoes and kayaking, indoor pool, all this kind of cool stuff, 41 rooms, ocean views, fireplaces. It's awesome. And you can find them at stanfordinn.com. And they also have a full-fledged wellness center called the Mendocino Center for Living Well, which I am the programs director of. And that just means I oversee the programs here, but I also am a certified nutritionist. And so I teach nutrition classes and healthy living classes here at the inn and run retreats too. So the wellness center is livingwellmendocino.com, livingwellmendocino.com. And you should jump on there if you guys are ever feeling like traveling. We got a bunch of retreats lined up for the whole year, plant-based cooking retreats and transitioning to health retreats that I run and yoga retreats. We're just about to launch a couple healing yoga retreats, which are very, very cool and a lot of personalized attention. So anyway, if you want to come see me, that's how you do it, or you just email me. And if you want to email me, it's podcast@transitioningtohealth.net, podcast@transitioningtohealth.net. Lastly, the first Saturday of every month, I do a Spreecast. If you've never heard of this, go to Spreecast, Spreecast.com, Spreecast.com, and there you can search on Sid Garza Hillman and you'll find my next Spreecast, which is April 5th, and that's at 12 noon Pacific Standard Time in the U.S., 12 noon. But anywhere in the world, you can get on this thing and you will see and hear me. You can interact with other people listening to it. You can post questions. I will look at those questions and I will pop them up onto the screen and answer them unless they are weird, in which case I'll devote probably even more time to them. And so that's April 5th. Okay. Tell your friends, it's free. It's friggin' free. Not a dime. You get to ask me questions for free. Okay. Consider yourself blessed or not. I don't know what it's St. Patrick's Day. I've got like I should be having a whiskey right now is what I should be doing. It's just not that time of day yet. Anyway. So that's it for the announcement. So what's been going on? Well, what's been going on is I hurt my back. Now, let's see, if anybody's been listening to this, which I know you have. So for the people who've been listening to this, I've talked about falling on my son's car seat. And I slammed my toe a couple weeks ago into the door stopper when I was playing a hide and seek with my son. I tried to blame both of those on my son in the last episode. I don't think I was successful, but I did make an attempt to make that happen. Anyway, so this time, and I only had to take 3 days off from running, so not bad. But this time, I was picking up my case of bananas, which I buy every week, a case of bananas. And I grabbed it and twisted in a not good way. And hurt my back, and pretty good. Like I felt a tinge, and I was like, "Whoa!" And then I got in the car and drove home. And then I sat in it, you know, got home, and I was like reading to the kids and hanging out with the kids, sitting down. Got up, and the left bottom side of my back just tightened up like I don't even know like what, because it was otherworldly. Just tightened right on up, and I went, "Ah, for the love of God!" So I had a day off from my running schedule the next day anyway, which is good. Then I ended up having to take a couple more days off just to kind of ease back in, which I thought was good. And I've been doing really well with my running. Even when I did start running again, I ran Saturday and Sunday, and was supposed to do a 16 miler on Sunday, and I just did 10.5. So I was proud of myself in that regard, and you know, as I've talked about a lot on this podcast, I'm working through the very things that I'm discussing with you. And it is important to me to note that every time. I am not any sort of paradigm of perfection or some like, once you've done the small steps, you can achieve, you know, the end. There's no end. You know, we live in an unnatural world. There is always going to be negotiation between us and what goes on in our lives when we walk out the door or even at home. And to think that you're going to just kind of small step and then eventually you'll be done is just not, it's just not how it goes. You know, it's like saying, well, I've been married and finally we worked every single thing out and now we just have a successful marriage and now we're just done. Like we never have to address it. Well, that's just not realistic. I mean, you don't have to address it, but to think that nothing else is going to come up, that's not realistic. Things are going to come up. In this podcast, of course, we're talking about how to deal with things that come up, right? And I actually thought about something today. I was like, I'm working on my own thing of not to be worried about what might happen, but to work on being ready for what might happen. So let me repeat that one time because I actually think it makes really good sense to me. And so you can think about this. Don't try to take steps to stop worrying about what might happen and try taking steps to be ready for what might happen. For me, that means developing myself, starting with me, how I think, how I am able to be present and aware in the moment so that when something does come up, I'm able to handle whatever that is. The fact of the matter is, like I just said, we are an unnatural species in a natural species in an unnatural world. We are up against a lot of stuff that our bodies were just simply not designed, nor our minds, I would argue, were designed to deal with. Least of all is just the crazy, crazy food that we're confronted with every minute of every day almost. And how you instead of working to, instead of just fretting, going to a party and having there be food that, you don't want to eat, that doesn't make you feel good, but that you can't help yourself around, instead of worrying about that and expending that energy of worry, because it is energy, that's stress. And I've talked about stress a million times and I'll do it again. Stress of any kind weakens this machine that you're in. You're in this machine and it weakens this machine. And so working on how you think, how you live, being more present and aware will allow you to be successful at that party. To be more aware and present in the moment means you're acting, making decisions based on who you want to be, not based on feelings or urges or cravings that don't serve you. I mean, that don't serve you. The reason why your body craves junk food is not because your body is bad or because your mind is bad. It's because that junk food trips a pleasure center in your brain that's a result of how you evolved. And your body is simply doing its job of going, that's the best calorie source. This is amazing. So why wouldn't I crave that? The body is still in the wild, in a way. The body is still in the wild. The body's still looking to survive every day. Body's still looking for food. Body's still going to store up on calories when it finds a good source. Well, when it sees Oreo cookies, that's an incredible source of calories. Mostly because humans made that crazy kind of calorie that is pure calories almost. It's sugar is pure calories. With nothing else, Oreo cookies are not that far away from pure sugar. So the body goes, this is amazing. Eureka, it says. And my thing is like, if you want the high, go to coffee. It's the healthiest thing you can drink. God, it's amazing. It's really not at all. And I'll get into that a little bit. I just think, to go all the way and go, and there's no criticism to anybody who goes all the way, but for me to go, I'm giving up coffee because I know it's bad for me, or I find out it's bad for me and I give it up, can cause me stress. It's something that I enjoy. And I think for people that it's pretty easy to go over the edge and go, I've got to give all this stuff up. You can make yourself crazy and think, I've got to just take this all the way to the end. I can't, but the fact of the matter is there are things that we do in our lives that also give us enjoyment. I found a balance with coffee that works for me right now. I've been out of balance even in the last year where I was drinking too much coffee. But the first thing that I needed to understand was that it doesn't serve me physically. If I enjoy it, it serves me mentally. It's what I call in the book mental nutrition. It is not a physical thing that it does for me, but it does give me enjoyment. And at the point where it didn't give me enjoyment and was just like something that I couldn't help but do, but I really didn't enjoy it, and that could happen. I'm open to that happening at some point. You know, if I had some sort of health problem and coffee was exacerbating that health problem and I couldn't stop drinking it because I was addicted, because I am addicted to it, just like people are addicted to sugar and salt and things like that, everything that we, you know, all artificially flavor, we're addicted to in effect. Just understand that. So again, if something comes up, you're ready. You don't have to worry about, I'm not going to worry about some health problem that's going to be exacerbated by coffee. But what I will do today is try to become a person that if something happens to me at some point where coffee is a problem for me, then I'm aware and strong enough to say, you know, this is a change I need to make. I mean, that is an addictive, you know, a reaction to an addiction that I think is prudent and is self-serving. And we need to be self-serving. We need to be, I did an entire episode on selfishness, so you know, listen to that. I think we're designed to be selfish. Our bodies show us that. Our bodies are always out for themselves. Our bodies are trying to survive. Our bodies are trying to thrive. Our bodies are trying to find the best calorie source they can find all day, every day. Our bodies are trying to sleep when they're tired. They're trying to rejuvenate. They're trying to breathe fresh air. They're trying to drink clean water. The more that we understand that and appeal to the body's natural drive and design and say, you know what, I get what you do and I'm just going to try to help you do that a little bit better. I'm going to try to give you food for the most part that you understand and that makes sense for you and that doesn't cause you a bunch of stress to break down, because you're going to break it down to make fuel out of it no matter what I put in. You're going to try your best to break down whatever I put in my mouth to make fuel out of it, to run the machine. I just take it one step further and say that we're mentally designed to be selfish too, self-serving. I don't think we're self-serving enough. I don't think we pay attention to ourselves enough to understand what really is self-serving to us. I think we fall way short. I think that we go to a certain point where we think eating an Oreo makes us feel good, and it does for that moment. That's self-serving. But if we think about it a little bit deeper, we go, well, it's self-serving for me and it serves me for the 5 minutes while I'm eating it, but what about the rest of the time after? And that's when you start asking the real questions about how you want to live in the world. And then you think, well, once in a while, that Oreo might be cool. My cup of coffee might be cool. But most of the time, what I want to do is stuff that's self-serving to me, that is long-lasting. Stuff that is so self-serving that it actually benefits everybody else in the world, potentially, right? You're so self-serving, you take care of yourself so much that you can help other people do what they need to do in their lives. You can be a better parent and a better husband and a better sibling and a better friend because you take care of yourself so much. But we stop short, and that's we see the effects of that. And then it comes out in weird ways. We get all greedy and crazy, and everyone goes, oh, you're so selfish. It's like, that's not selfish. You got to have a self to be selfish. To be truly selfish, you have to have a developed self. So today, don't worry about what might happen. Start thinking about developing yourself. Anyway, so I don't know why I got on that tangent. Just what I do. So I did hurt my back lifting my bananas. I thought that was ironic. Carrying my case of bananas hurt my back. That'll show me. It's like people who eat healthy whenever they get sick. Because, you know, people get sick, right? Even if you eat really healthy, because we're living in the modern world and, you know, you're up against a bunch of crazy stuff. But if somebody eats really well and they get sick, everyone's like, yeah, that's because of your diet. They're ready to just boom. If you're vegan and you're like a healthy vegan and you get sick, I'm just like, ah, that's why. It's because they're vegan. That's why they got sick. Forget about all the other people in the country who are getting sick all the time. Forget about them. It must be some problem with that. I had a friend once who was in the hospital for a very serious surgery and got a really bad bacterial infection. And he was plant-based, and the dietitian, brilliant, came in the room and was like, what's your diet like? And he's like, well, I'm plant-based. Oh, you need to eat more animal protein. And he goes, well, have you ever seen this kind of infection before? And she goes, yeah. And he goes, well, how many of those people were vegan? And she goes, none. And he goes, well, then it's probably not an animal protein issue, is it? If they were all, every other one of them was eating animal protein and got the same infection I have. Killing me. Anyway, you know, whatever. Okay, so I was teaching this class last weekend. I wanted to share this kind of a couple of stories from this class. I usually do nutrition classes and here at the Wellness Center, but I actually concocted a class called Approaching the Natural. And it's kind of just, you know, if I could put, you know, bring this podcast into an hour, you know, 2 hours. In fact, there's a person local who listens to this and she's like, do I need to come to your class? I listen to your podcast every week. And I was like, no, you don't need to come to my class. She's like, listen to 25 episodes. I'm like, you don't need to come to the 2 hour distilled version. But it's an intro and it's kind of like the idea of, you know, all these kinds of things and applying it to movement and in nutrition and, you know, mindfulness and socialization and all the kinds of things that I do in creativity. Anyway, it was a really good class. I think that was you know, 50 to 60-ish kind of age. And I'm finding a lot of that, by the way. This, I don't know what my demographic is in terms of age with regards to this podcast, but I do find that a lot of people in like 50s and older, they're kind of bent over, you know, they're kind of like done with the diet thing, which is always my best client is the person who just like, I'm done. I can't do another friggin' diet. It'll, you know, it's just like, they don't work. I know they don't work. Until you just know they don't work, you're going to be tempted to try them because that's what we're sold. And that's a marketing, that's the success of that marketing and advertising that's out there surrounding these plans and, you know, workout DVDs and, you know, all the crazy diets that we do. It's, they're brilliant. I mean, they're better than I am. They're making, you know, making a way better living than I am doing what I do. I'm not advocating sexy stuff. I'm going, let's take this easy, everybody. Run it back. Am I going to lose 10 pounds in the month that I work with you, Sid? No. And even if you did, it doesn't even matter. I want to set you up for the rest of your life. Oh, I want to help you take control of your life. Yeah, but I want to lose 10. I go, if you take control of your life, you're going to lose 10 and as much as you want. But you know, it takes a small, I was listening to this interview, on this other podcast and this guy was like, just referring himself. He's like, I'm just kind of like a marginal. He's like a pretty successful guy, actually. But he's like, I'm just like a marginal. I'm okay. I just know that like, I don't have like the wide appeal, but there's definitely a group of people in the world that could get what I do. And I kind of feel like that with this podcast and with my approach. And I actually interestingly felt like that as a musician with my band. Like we were not huge by any stretch of the imagination, but there was a core people who just got what we did and just understood it and were, you know, and that's who you play for. And I'm not going to fight that. I'm just not like, you know, I'm not Katy Perry. I don't even look like Katy Perry. Katy Perry doesn't even look like Katy Perry. Don't get me started on Photoshop. Anyway, so I'm teaching this class, Approaching the Natural, and so I'm talking about kind of what I do, and I've been doing a lot more fruit, hence the case of bananas, right? So I put this like little slideshow together, and mostly it's talking, but I kind of do slide guideline, kind of slidey things, and PowerPoint presentation kind of stuff, not too much. I just like to really get it kind of almost like traffic school, you know, just to that point, but just before that. Anyway, and so I built in this slide where I was going to tell them what I ate. And then the next slide, which they couldn't see yet, was going to say, it said, Sid, but what about all that sugar? Because most people, when they find out how much fruit I eat during the day, up until this class, 100% of people went, God, that seems like a lot of sugar. What about all that sugar, right? Now, as I said in the last class and last podcast, and if you download my free friggin' chapter, you'll know this. It's free, but download it for free. Put your email in. Is that it's not about the particular calorie. It's what comes with the calorie. So fruit is chock full of all the amazing things that help our machine run well so that our machine can burn fuel with minimal stress and as efficient as possible. Minimal stress means vibrancy. Okay. So anyway, I built this slide in, and so I'm ready. I'm like, I'm in the talk, and I'm like, okay. So for instance, and I'm talking about heavy box foods and light box foods, and it's a spectrum, and you know, we'll get, you know, the whole thing was couched in like the small step thing, and here's you kind of build this in, and what your balance right now of heavy box versus light box is light box is how healthy you are right now. That's it's how healthy you are right now is an effect of what you do most of the time, and if you want to adjust that, you make slight adjustments over time. this and that. So for instance, I say, in my life right now, I've kind of been doing this a long time. So now I'm experimenting with what it's like to have a lot more fruit because I've been doing a lot of reading on that. And I've been seeing some, you know, athletes who are doing extremely well by doing that. And so I said, you know, for instance, today I'm drinking a shake that has 14 bananas in it and a cup of blueberries and 10 dates. And there's silence. And so I sit there, I'm just like looking at him, waiting, nothing. I go, and so I'm waiting to cue up the next slide, right? And I was like, will anything come to mind? Does that seem weird to anybody? I'm totally begging the question, right? And two of them go, that seems like a lot of potassium. And I was like, damn it. Freaking potassium. Jeez. So I had to cop to the fact. I was like setting up a magic trick. And I was like, and your card is in, I already have a slide that says your card. I knew you were going to choose the Queen of Spades. And I put it on a slide before this class started. Totally failed on that. Anyway, potassium. Woo. So that's how that goes. But the other thing that came up in that class was this woman said that she had a friend. And this is very interesting because this is great. So I'm going to share this with you. She had a friend, has a friend, who is, as she described, eats extremely healthy, but also has a list of things that she can and can't eat. Very, very strict guidelines that I'm assuming she set for herself. Now, I don't know the particulars of what this woman eats. I may not agree that she eats that healthy, neither here nor there. She's got this list. Okay. And this person in my class, who's not the person, but it was her friend, just said that she has this problem. She said, if somebody eats so well, then what happens when they go out and do something that's like not part of their plan? And then they feel really bad physically because most of the time, 99% of the time, let's say, their bar is set very, very high. So that when they do have something that's not a light box, that is a light box food, they really feel it, right? Really good question, okay? So I had two things to say about that, okay? The first thing I said was, I had a feeling, because I have experience in this, I said, I'm going to guess that she's a fairly stressed person, especially when it comes to food. And she said, oh yeah, she has a list she carries around with herself of the things that she can and can't eat. I said, it sounds like she's very restrictive, self-restrictive, and maybe even in ways that aren't about food. And she goes, oh yeah, absolutely. Like her life is really restrictive and she has a lot of rules and everything. I said, okay. So when you talk about stress of the picture in a big picture way, when you talk about stress, it's beyond food. And that's why, of course, I advocate for health and diets don't work because they can be very stressful and they aren't real and they aren't realistic for most people. They might be what you could do down the line, but to jump all the way in and do that for 21 days doesn't work. It doesn't work. 95% of the time doesn't work. I've never seen it work once. So that was the first thing I said. I said, you know, part of it is that she's very, very stressed. And so her body is reacting to that stress such that she may be hypersensitive to even like a little bit of food that's hard to digest, let's say. Let's say you never eat, you know, gluten, which is really hard to digest, or you never eat dairy, which has casein in it, which is extremely hard to digest, right? So you never eat those things, but you're also just super stressed. Well, some people, if they aren't super stressed, they're kind of more in balance emotionally and mentally and physically, might be able to have a little bit of gluten and tolerate it okay. Now, I'm not the least stressed person in the room. Well, I'm the only stressed person in the room because there's nobody in the room right now. Just saying. But in the world, I'm fairly balanced. Not all the way. I'm dealing with my own thing, right? But I can have gluten now and then. I feel it, but it's not debilitating. Okay, so I'm obviously at a place where like my balance is such that I can handle a little bit of gluten. Now, what I will say though, just for your knowledge about how I handle these things, is I take a digestive enzyme when I'm eating gluten. And I do that because I know that gluten is very hard to digest. Just in case you're wondering where I stand on supplementation, this is an aside, but I want people to understand where I stand. I think that supplementation, and I'm talking about vitamins, pills, and mineral pills, and things like digestive enzymes, for instance. I think that what I do and how I know what I advocate for in my own practice is I will recommend supplementation just enough to balance how unnatural you're eating. Here's what I mean by that, in case that wasn't clear, because it wasn't even clear to me. If you're eating an extremely unhealthy diet, if you're eating if you're most of the time, and if you don't know what I mean, go back to the MOTT. What is your MOTT? M-O-T-T. If you're most of the episode, if you're most of the time, if your MOTT is light box food, okay, then, and you're saying to me, Sid, I'm not going to, I think I referenced this already in another podcast. If you're saying to me, I'm not going to change that, then I'm going to recommend supplementation against my better judgment because, well, first of all, I wouldn't want to work with you. Because you're not interested in changing and in a real way. And that's fine, but I'm not going to waste your money. But for most people who are in the gray area, I'm going to recommend a certain amount. So for instance, I take vitamin D. Well, we all know, and if you don't know, you should know that being in the sun on your skin. Now, I have a lot of people, I spend lots of time in the sun. I go, do you wear a hat? Oh, yeah. Do you wear long sleeves? Yes. And I go, then you're not in the sun. I mean, you have to have skin exposure to the sun. Now, sun has become this bad thing. Oh, you got to watch the sun. Sun is only bad if you are overexposed. Not exposed, overexposed. So if you're in the sun 10 or 15 minutes a day or a few times a week with bare arms and bare face and, you know, whatever, legs, if ideally, you're going to, most cases, you're going to make the vitamin D. If you're more unnatural than that, such that you're not in the sun, which is the natural place to be, and this is why for me it comes down to natural, then I would suggest take vitamin D, which is why many days I take vitamin D. Not all days. I didn't take it today. I went for a run, short sleeves in the sun. No hat. I didn't take vitamin D today. So I only match the level of unnatural. If I'm in a room under fake light, that's not natural. It's not bad. It's just not natural. Now, I also take vitamin B12 because I wash my produce. I wash the soil bacteria off the food that I eat. That's unnatural. If I were in the wild, I'd be eating a ton of soil bacteria. I'd be making all the B12 that I need, just like the cow does. But because I wash my food, I take a B12 supplement, a little sublingual. That's it. I don't take a multivitamin. But that's not quite it, because again, when I eat things like gluten, now bread is kind of, compared to what I do most of the time, bread is kind of in cuckoo town a little bit. You know, I mean, it's normal in terms of society. I love it. I grew up with it. It's a total treat, but it's, you know, yeast and baked and gluten. And it's like, it's really, you know, you put it in your body and your body's like, holy crap, I got to, you know, I'm going to shut this whole shop down while I deal with this freaking cardboard. And so I take a digestive enzyme when I do that. So, cause it helps my body break that down. Now, I don't sell anything, which I've said before. So if you want to look online, look for a good digestive enzyme. Health Force Nutritionals I like. Source Naturals makes a decent one. Garden of Life makes a decent one. I don't sell any of them. I'm not affiliated with any of them. I make no money off them. There you go. Okay. So anyway, so that was the thing I said to her. I said, the first thing is that there's probably more to that story. And that's what I got, that there was definitely more to that story. The next thing I said was, she, you know, a couple things come to play. One is that she may, if that is how her experience is due to her stress, and that's what my opinion is, then it would be good for her to, and I'm not advising her, but let's say she asked me for my opinion, a good thing to do would be to focus on her balance, on the balance in her life. So that maybe if she's doing something 99% of the time, but still wants to go out with friends and eat these things that are not on her list that she made, then maybe she wants to adjust that to start including more things off her list to kind of balance that out. Now, does that seem counterintuitive to what you think a nutritionist would say? Well, that's why I'm also a health coach, and that's why I have an entire philosophy of health, because I don't ever make it about food. Because if it's ever all about food, then as a pure nutritionist, I would go, she should follow that plan perfectly. But in the context of her life, that doesn't serve her. It's not serving her. And I don't even know this woman. Okay, I don't even know her name. Maybe her name's Gina Cranston. I just made that up. I don't even know her name. don't even know her name. She's like, for the intents and purposes of this podcast, she's a mythical character, and she's like half swan and half cheetah. She has to figure out a balance that works for her. If she's really being debilitated by having a little bit of something that's not on her list, that's less about the food and more about her own balance and the way that she is interacting with the external world. Okay. If it is the case that she is debilitated by these things, I would advise her to figure out a balance that works for her in the context of her life. And this can apply to now all of you who are listening to this, okay? All over the world, mostly in New Zealand. If for her, she wants to go out with friends and have these foods, then she should adjust her most of the time to accommodate that so that's not debilitating. Or recognize that at least, and then ask for help or take steps like I do, which is like, you know, digestive enzymes or whatever might make things easier for her. Or if it's in conflict for her to eat those things, if she regrets eating those light box foods, then she should make plans around in her life to create balance that way so that maybe she brings her own food, which is totally okay. I mean, if it makes her feel really good to continue eating the way she's eating, then she should continue to do that. So it's really, there's not like a hard, fast rule. And I want to be clear with everybody. What I teach mostly is the reason why I don't hand somebody a plan and go follow this is because I want to help you through this podcast and my book and my practice figure out a balance that works for you. Through the work that you do by taking small steps in your life, you will find out like, wow, that's interesting. Remember the six pack thing. It's like, I realized when I thought about it, it's like, I don't really want a six pack. I thought that I wanted a six pack until I really thought about it and realized that the work it would take to do that didn't fit in the context of my life. I didn't want to do what it took to do that. It's too much effort for me. So for her, this person, Gina, it may not be worth her to eat these foods now and then because they cause her that much pain, and she should be aware of that. Or she should say, well, these are things that really do give me enjoyment, less nutritionally, more mentally, so I get to figure out maybe to eat these a little more often. Or maybe the whole thing of being restrictive and having lists isn't serving me either, so maybe there's a different way that I can approach food in general, and I can take steps to maybe live in a way that makes more sense for me as a human being, and maybe not be so restrictive in my life and maybe open things up, but I better take it easy and do small steps to get there because that can be stressful in the transition. Okay? So that's what came up there. The other thing that I wanted to share with you is the subject of lists. And I'm not talking about Fran's lists, okay? I'm talking about lists. There is a plethora of articles in the world right now. And many of them have lists, top five best anti. If you go to yahoo.com, you know, CNN.com, you go to the health section, you'll see what I'm talking about. They do it because it's good marketing. I get it. I'm not even criticizing it. It's drawn in top five. You see an article that says, here's an article about antioxidant foods. And then you see another article that says top five best antioxidant foods. Which one are you going to click? In the top five, it's concise, it's list, you get it, it's boom, it's quick information. In this world, like, people aren't taking time to read long articles, or certainly not taking time to read studies. So you're going to dive in, boom, boom, five, okay? So I saw an article the other day, I'm not going to say where it was from, but I saw an article the other day, and it was something like 11 ways to reach your truest self, or 11 ways to be your truest self. So I was like, oh, for the love. So I click on it, right? So I'm checking it out. And it's like things like, no, I'll preface this by saying every single thing on that list was totally right on. Totally right on. It was like, you know, things like, this isn't an example, I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, eat food that's healthy for your body. You know, take time during the day to meditate. Journal every day. You know, spend time, you know, taking deep breaths throughout the day, take time to walk in nature, you know, whatever, things like that. Every one of them, I was literally heard my voice in my head going, oh, that's easier said than done. Well, that's easier said than done. Well, that's easier said than done. Well, that's easier said than done. And the 11th, that's easier said than done. And it just made me realize yet again, if there is a difference between knowing and doing. First, it's good to know. It's good to know that the things that you want and the things and about the things that can deliver you better health and happiness. It's good to know about nutrition. It's good to know about meditation. It's good to know about yoga. But the fact still remains that unless you understand the right, I don't want to say right, the effective way, which I think the most effective way is to break it down into small steps. And I just do. I just think there's no better way. That's just my opinion. You could disagree with me, but I think the single best way to achieve lifelong change in your life is to begin a process where you start doing things every day and you break it down into such a minute level that you can achieve that. And so all the things on that list, take time to meditate every day. Great. It sounds amazing, but who can stick to that? Eat healthy food. Okay. How's that going to work? Okay. Everybody listening to this podcast, start, you know, my podcast would be 3 minutes long. I'd go, hey, you guys want to be healthier and happier? Take better care of yourselves. That's one thing you could do. You could just do stuff that's good for you. Okay. Thank you for joining me. This was the Approaching the Natural podcast. Thank you for joining me. And I'll be back next week to repeat just what I said. You know, it's like saying to somebody who's severely overweight, why don't you just eat less? And saying somebody who's an alcoholic, you know, here's two steps to curing your alcoholism. Drink less and don't drink as much. Now, Matt, there you go, right? There's just too much that's easier said than done. And to float these lists out there puts pressure on people because, and I'm not going to fault the people who float them, like float them. They get a lot of likes, fine. But the fact of the matter is people here with me, you guys who are listening to this podcast, I'm talking right to you. Especially the guy in the purple shorts. I can see you on the treadmill. Okay. You're all level. Bring up the incline at least 2%. Seriously. For all of us listening and being here today, you still, no matter what you know in terms of those lists and how much those make sense to you, you have got to, if you want to make a change in your life, you're going to have to figure out a way to begin the process and to stay with the process. How to begin the process and how to stay with the process. Okay. One thing I wanted to one thing that speaks to this is what ask yourself each day. And again, this is easier said than done. So, but ask yourself, if you think about it, ask yourself what you've done today that's an expression of what you stand for. What have you done today that's an expression of your values? So now this is getting into the title of this, which is value-added task. Now, the reason I did value-added task is because the initials are VAT, V-A-T, which is a value-added tax, of course. So I was extremely clever in the way that what I just did there. I made an acronym that's similar to another acronym, and I did a play off that. Very, very clever. I mean, I think we can all agree that was very clever. I'm gonna see just a ton of tweets about the cleverness of me. Value added task. Ask yourself that what you did today that is an expression of your values, and it could be nothing. And be okay with that. There's no judgment around this. It's just like it's a beginning of a process. So you go, I ate an apple. That's an expression of my value. Of I have a value, whether I do it or not every day, I have a value of that I want to take care of myself. I cleaned my house today. That's a value that I want to live in a clean environment. I called a friend. I called my parent. I brushed my teeth. Brushing teeth could be an expression of your value. A lot of the things that I ask people and you and people that I talk to and work with is just to begin recognizing the things that you do already. And then learn to over time to understand that when you look at things that you aren't doing, that's an expression of value, to not do those with self-criticism and just I'm horrible, because that's not an expression of value to call yourself horrible, but to understand it and go, okay, interesting. So I had an apple, then I had a piece of bacon. Which, by the way, why is bacon like all the rage all of a sudden? It's been around forever. Now I'm talking about bacon. Crazy. Bacon. Anyway, but let's say you did that and then you're like, well, that's not an expression. Maybe it is. I'm not saying it. I'm just hypothetically. Gina doesn't do bacon, for instance. So maybe she goes, I had bacon. That's not an expression of my values. Then you can say, okay, well, that's interesting. So why did I do something that wasn't an expression of my values? Or maybe you go, well, it wasn't an expression of my values in terms of feeding my body well, but it was something that I enjoy and something that that I need to, you know, that I do once in a while. And so today that it was. It doesn't really matter what the answer is. What matters is that you're having that conversation. And then the deeper you get into that, the more you can understand who you truly are. Because I've talked about this before, and this is, I'm going to refer back to that first task that I've asked everybody to do, whether you, you know, hope you have, is to write down in present tense who you are. Because I think that's an expression of literally who you are already. If you're doing things that are in conflict with that, you'll know. And you go, okay, but the thing that those things are in conflict with is you. So if hypothetically you're a person who wants to feed themselves well, and you write that task and you go, I eat really well. I nourish my body. I take care of myself. Like, I value myself enough to feed myself really good food. You write that down. Even if you don't do that today, even if that's not what you're doing day to day, even if that's not even close to your MOT, but that's a value that you have because you've thought about it. And you go, you know what? I'm not doing it because I learned habits when I was a kid and I've got used to these foods that are, you know, were given to me before I had a choice in the matter. And so I just do them now. But my value is that I want to nourish my body and I'm thin, even if you're not thin when you write it. But you're like, my value is that I have a fit body, you know, this vessel that you're in. For whatever religious background you have or belief system you have, we are in a vessel that was given to us or that we, who knows, don't even care. That's not even relevant. But when you look it down at this body that you're in, it works best when you take care of it. Even if you believe that it was given to you and that it's a gift from a higher power, it serves that whole picture the better you take care of that vessel. Why wouldn't you want to treat it extremely well so that you can do the work that you believe you're doing or here to do if you believe that? If you're purely just like, this is how I evolved, you're still in a body that has very, very natural, a very natural design of drive to be healthy and happy. That's what I argue is the design of this species that we're in, of this machine that we're in. So when you think about what you do every day as what did I do and what did I not do, just have a conversation. It's not like, am I good or am I bad? Just like, up today, what did I do? Nobody has perfect days. Who cares? It's not even an issue. The perfection thing is not even, it's a balance. How many things did you do that are mostly an expression of what you did and how many things did you do that weren't? If you're not happy in your life and you're not as healthy as you want to be, it's simply about adjusting those things, just like it is with food and just like it is with movement. Did I move too much today? Did I push it to the point where I don't feel well and that I injured myself? Or did I move too little where I'm stagnant and things aren't moving around enough and I don't feel well and I have no energy? Did I eat mostly light box foods or mostly heavy box foods? Did I eat enough of heavy box foods to make me as healthy as I want to be? Or is that something that I'm going to start adding in little by little over time? These are the questions. What you do when you ask, what did you do today, that is an expression of my values, that's a value-added task. We are placing value on the tasks and the things that we do every day. It's an exercise. I'm advocating this as an exercise. I'm advocating this as a way to think about the things that you're already doing, to couch them in the terms of thinking and philosophy and thought and ideas. Instead of saying, well, I had an apple today and then I had a pear and then I went for a swim, you go, well, those three things represented an expression of who I am. And then I went and got high. Well, that wasn't an expression, or maybe it is, but maybe it's not. And you go, okay, well, that's interesting. And then the things that you do in your life that aren't an expression, you can say, well, why did I do something that is not an expression of who I am? Why did I? Well, I got home and I was, you know, I had a really bad day at work and I really hate my job. Oh, I hate my job. And that's why I'm beating myself up and doing something that's in conflict to me. And I don't want my bad job or job that I don't like to have that kind of power over me. And I'm going to understand that I do those things as a result of that job. But now that I know that, I'm going to start taking steps to change that. I'm going to start taking steps to get a new job, or I'm going to start taking steps to making myself better at that job so that I enjoy that job better, engaging more in that job. Very interesting way to think about it to me. I was talking to Jeff Stanford, who I did that meditation episode with. And we were talking about the other day, and it's so funny because I had this kind of, I was kind of thinking about it on my run, and then I got to work, and he's like, you know, I was thinking the other day, and we just completely locked up on it. And that is that the way that we view meditation, and I learned it from him, is and the way I look at it now, but is that it's, we kind of do this more present, being aware, listening, you know, less of a going in a room and focusing on a candle. There's no criticism, but what he and I both thought of this week was, if you're in this body for whatever reason, what if you think about it as, why wouldn't you want to just engage more fully in this experience? If we exist as a some sort of entity, if we can exist outside of this body, and maybe we did before we were born, and maybe we will after we're born, I don't know. I don't think anybody does. But let's say you do, you know, you believe that. Right now, you're in this body. Everybody listening to this podcast is in this body. So why wouldn't you want to, or maybe I just want you to think, could you understand that engaging more fully, like accepting that premise? So instead of going to a room and trying to escape this body, trying to get out and trying to find nirvana and become enlightened and sort of like remove yourself from society, what would it be like if you just engaged more fully? And you went into society as this present, aware person, enjoying every day, understanding that even on the worst of days, there are literally things that you can be grateful for. I don't care how bad the day is. But of course, most of us on a bad day, we're swept up into the thing that's happening and we lose all perspective. We all do. But if over time you can start to take little steps to infuse thought into your day, then even on days that just feel crappy, you can take moments of pause and go, yeah, this thing is crappy, but this thing over here is awesome. And I don't want to just lose all focus on this other awesome thing, like my child, just because I had a crappy day at work. And I'm not going to come home and spend time with my child because I'm going to be stewing in the crappiness of my job. And I'm going to miss out on this other amazing thing in my life. And the way that you do that is you learn over time to be present. It's a practice like learning how to eat well. It's a practice like training for a marathon. Each day you wake up, and I'm the small step advocate. So I'm going to go like super small. Take a deep breath. Listen to that breath. If you can do it one time per day, that's more than you were before. Listen. Listen to my breath. When you did that, you were present. Were you thinking about anything else? Were you thinking about the crappy job? Were you thinking about the stuff that you ate and shouldn't have eaten? Were you thinking about the fact that you didn't exercise and you didn't, and all the messages we have about how bad we are? When you listen to my voice, when you listen to your own breath, it's a way to engage more fully in life. It's a way to be present. It's a way to be in a state of mind most of the time. You can set your most of the time in the way that you think. How do you think most of the time? Not all the time. Do you think I can just be here in good conscience and say, you know, you guys should do is think positively, right? That's a thing you'll find in a list. Think positively. Okay. That's super easy. None of us have. It's so easy not to think negative thoughts, right? It's impossible to not think negative thoughts. They come in. But when you accept that and go, okay, and they're here, they come. Let me take a deep breath. I'm hearing the negative thoughts. I'm just going to take a deep breath and listen to it. I'm going to become more present. And all of a sudden, you're able to act in that moment based on who you truly are. Not who your parents made you be, or your blah, 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 your job, you know, friend, upbringing, but who you are today. All the rest of it's in your head. All the stuff that you've already done to this day is gone. It's in your head. It just doesn't exist anymore. Whether that stuff dictates your life or not is all up to you. It's 100% up to you. It's all 100% up to you. I can't sell you anything else other than that. Okay? Understand that. And understand that it's part of the process, and that the actual process can be enjoyable. So I'll share with you my own kind of what I'm going through right now with my own thing. I talked about this, I think, in the last podcast. I'm trying to take a step right now. So I eat really well most of the time. For me, I have a most of the time that's really well. It's not all day. It's not every day. It's most days. It's most meals I'm eating really well. It works for me. It's not in conflict with the context of my life. I'm at work, so I'm not really paying attention to food that much. And so I'm just kind of eating when I eat, and I'm eating really good food when I'm not really dealing with that. On weekends, we have special meals, and I talked about this. The problem I have isn't the special meals that are a little lighter box. Still good, but, you know, a little heavier, a little saltier, that kind of thing. The problem I have is that I overeat. I overeat them. I kind of binge. Like I'm eating and I'm knowing I'm not eating. So I decided this is something that I want to change. Not because a diet book told me to change and not because I read a list that said, you should eat less, but because I regret it after I do it and I don't really want to eat that much. I want to learn how to enjoy food, but not to the point that I feel bad physically. That's something that I just decided for myself. So I've begun to think about that. And I realized this weekend that I did it again. And I started to get a little frustrated. I'm like, God, what's going on here? Why can't I come? And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm thinking about it. That is my step right now. I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about it and I'm aware of it. And I was aware of it in the moment. I was like, I'm overeating, I'm eating too much. And I kind of did that little battle and I got more food. And I was like, oh, shit. And I think I know some people have asked me, they've said, well, thinking about it and then actually changing, like at what point, and for instance, my question for myself would be, at what point do I stop thinking about it and actually enact change? The answer to that question for me is that I will be beyond thinking about it when the change has happened. And what I mean by that is the more I think about that, the less I'm going to eat. And then funny thing is, looking back, I actually have made headway. I've made headway. Like the weekend before, and actually this weekend, I didn't even overeat to the amount that I have in the past. I didn't overeat to that amount. I still overate, but not to that amount. I would never have noticed that if I was just looking at an external diet to me saying I can only have these many calories and this much weight of food and all that kind of just totally unsustainable stuff. I'd have been like, I failed yet again, but I actually succeeded, still overate and succeeded. Why? Because I didn't overeat as much. The more you think about, the more you're aware. And I realize the reason why I've made headway, even though it was so minute that I almost wouldn't have noticed, is because I'm thinking about it. That's it. You don't have to say, well, now I'm done thinking about it. Now I have to take a step to actually have one cup less food. You don't have to do that. That's miserable. That's miserable. When you think about it, you're getting more over time, more in touch with who you truly are. And the more I think about it, the more I'm aware in the moment, and the more I'm aware I'm in the moment, I get to make choices based on who I truly am, and I put the fork down. And it's happening. It's already happening. Just nobody else would notice but me. And that's okay, right? But we all know that cleanses and diets, everybody else notices what you're doing, and everybody else pats you on the back, and everyone else tells you how amazing you look and how incredible you're doing. And then when you can't sustain it because it's not who you are, you feel really bad about yourself. And I don't want that for me. I certainly don't want it for you guys. I want you to do things that maybe you are the only ones who see what's going on in your lives for now. It's fine. All the better. Don't even talk about it. Why waste your time? You got a life to live. You got a life to live. Be at your health. Find your healthy weight and your balance and live that way for 10 years. Somebody might walk by and go, you look awesome. Okay, cool. Good. Doesn't really matter. I'm just doing my thing. I'm freaking happy. And it's not about what anybody says about me. Okay. So that's my own step. And one thing I wanted to also just ask somebody to try on is when you're eating the Ben and Jerry's at night after a bad day, and that's a thing that you want to change because you're just like, oh, now I'm overweight and I just don't want that. Ugh, it's a grab. Instead of putting yourself in a, I'm a bad person and this kind of craziness, right? If you think about it, just ask yourself, what would my life be like if I weren't eating this right now? What would my life be like if I just got home and I didn't have this and I had something else that was more nourishing to me than this? Are there worse things than Ben and Jerry's? Sure. Are there better things? Sure. What works for you? If you're regretting the Ben and Jerry's, then that's not a good, appropriate thing for you to eat, plain and simple. So if you get home and you're eating that thing anyway, what would your life be like if you didn't have it? And understand, I'm not begging the question here. I'm saying, ask the question because you might go, my life would be miserable. This is the one thing I look forward to all day, every day. I love this thing. This gives me a bit of respite from my day. I'd rather build in healthier, heavy box foods in other times. This is what I dig. I'd say, great. I mean, that's what I would say. I would say, great. But I always say, start the conversation. Find out where you're at. Find out where you're at with what you're doing. Again, I'm going to come back to what I said before in this podcast. What are you doing? What value-added tasks have you done today? What tasks have you done that are expressions of your values? How have you acted? Did you do something kind for somebody? If kindness is a value, if you think that you want, that you are a kind person deep down, even though maybe you're mean to people, you find yourself being mean to people a lot for no reason because you don't feel well in your body. That happens. You're irritable. You have no sleep. You're eating bad food and you're irritable. So people set you off, but maybe that's not an expression of your value. So maybe you do one little thing that's nice to somebody. Maybe you send a quick email to a friend or your parent and go, "Hey, I was just thinking about you. I just wanted to send you love and say a quick hi." That's a huge step. Huge. Huge. Is it going to make somebody go, "You are the nicest person I have ever met in my life," because you sent one email in the morning? No, who cares? You began that process of acting, of adding in yet another value-added task, and adding another thing that's an expression of your values. Okay? I'm wrapping this puppy up. What I decided to do was add a few things at the end that are little things for you to try. If you want, you don't have to. Now, I will be monitoring each and every one of you. I'll be checking in with all of you via email, one by one, and calling you at your homes. I'm just joking. Somebody in Germany is like, "This is not appropriate." Not really going to do that. These are just ideas. Okay. I'm getting into like some practical stuff. Okay. So oftentimes with my clients, for instance, I will have them text me in the morning and at night, first thing in the morning, last thing at night. Okay. Just started working with a new client today, and this is what I did. Now, I'm not saying for you to text me. In fact, please don't, because I can't have thousands of texts. That would be overwhelming. But I want you to understand what you can do maybe to start your day off first thing in the morning. This would be a good first step for some of you if this isn't stressful, if this is not stressful for you. Leave yourself a note, and I'm going to preface this by saying these are things, this is what it takes. Okay, this is not new agey crap. This is the natural species in an unnatural world. This is what it takes. Bookend your day. Maybe start with just the morning, or if you can handle morning and night. Leave yourself a note. Leave yourself an alarm on your phone that says, when you wake up in the morning, think. Or, you know, leave yourself a note that says, as soon as you open your eyes, you look and you see this note that's hung on the side of your bed or your bedstand or on the wall that you see on your mirror when you brush your teeth that says, think about who you really are. Think about who you really are. And you think about that first thing in the morning. And then at night, you come back and brush your teeth because, most of us do. Why? Because we built that in over time, didn't we? Our parents taught us every day, made us do it every day. And then all of a sudden, we just don't think about it anymore. That can be your life with whatever you decide to be. If you ease your way in like you did with teeth brushing, you can add in any habit in the world that you want to do. If you ease it in like toothbrushing, you start to do everything every day, something that you can do and you even get help doing it or whatever. Eventually, it'll become a thing you don't even think about. Okay? But leave yourself a note in the morning. Think about who you really are. Now, maybe you spend 5 seconds, 10 seconds, and that's where you start. And the rest of the day can be totally in conflict with who you really are. You could be doing stuff that you've just been doing your whole life that is so not who you really are deep down. You're eating bad food and you're not exercising at all and you're irritable and pissed and you don't keep in touch with people. You don't return phone. I mean, who knows? Who cares? Who cares? Right now, you're going to start getting in touch with who you really are. What are your values? At the end of the day, think about who you really are. Ask yourself, what did I do today? Is there anything I did today? And even if there's zero, okay, there's nothing I did today. Good to know. Or if there's stuff that you wouldn't even realize is in line with your values, but you're not even going to think about that generally because you're swept up in all the other stuff, now is a good time to appreciate that. Go, well, that's kind of cool. I so think I'm off the charts, but actually I'm not. I got up and had a big glass of water. That's totally in line. That's a nourishing act. Pretty cool. Notes on your refrigerator, notes on your steering wheel. Use technology. Use your alarms on your phone. Breathe. Alarm goes off at 10 a.m. Breathe. Right? Breathe. Take a deep breath. Set your clock. 2 seconds. Everybody has time to breathe. You know why? Because you're already breathing. Everybody has time to listen to one breath or more. Whatever you're comfortable with doing, whatever you can handle that doesn't add stress and regiment and restriction to your life when you're not ready for it. I must breathe 15 times every day because it's set on the list. Breathe 15 times every day. That's external to you. Is breathing healthy for you? Sure, taking deep breaths, absolutely. When we're stressed, our breath goes shallow. When we're under stress, our breath goes shallow, and we actually become more acidic when we don't expel the carbon dioxide. And that affects us, you know, it's a stress response, and it affects us in a negative way physically. So yeah, taking deep breaths. Under stress, we don't take deep breaths. So if you put a note on your steering wheel that says breathe, and on the way home you take a couple deep breaths, that's way better than what you did the day before. And if you can do that every day, you're going to start doing that even more during the day because you're getting used to breathing like that every day. See how this works? All right. I'm going to leave you there. If you have any questions, podcast@transitioningtohealth.net. Even better would be to join me on my free Spreecast on April 5th, because you can bring questions and then everybody can see what the questions are and everybody can hear the answers, and then everybody gets to benefit from all that instead of, you know, and, you know, whatever. But, you know, it's kind of a cool thing, a little community effort. Okay. Small steppers. Okay. Is that just sound so dorky? Small stepper. Hello, small steppers. Anyway, take small steps. Take it easy on yourself. Value-added tasks. What are you doing today? Is there something you can envision doing in your life that's an expression of your values, of who you are, how you want to live, who you want to be, how you want to treat people, how you want to treat yourself? What are you doing today that's an expression of those values? It could be nothing. But then you think, what could I do? I guess I could get up and do this. I guess I could get up and do that. We'll see how that goes. I'm going to try that. Not too much, too stressful. I'm going to back off. Try this again, a little smaller. And that's how it works. And you continue that every day. And you listen to this podcast every week. And you just build this into your life. And that's what you do. All right. If you feel like I didn't mention in the beginning, if you feel like you're digging what I'm doing here and or dig the book, throw me a review. It does help me keep going. The more this grows and is growing, which I appreciate, and the more you spread the word about it, the more I can continue doing this. That's a fact. So iTunes, Stitcher, Zune, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, throw me reviews. Okay? Appreciate it. Would be cool. All right. In the meantime, I'll be back next week. So in the meantime, be well. And remember, small steps. If you let yourself go into the world without thinking, you're going to be beholden to all the barrage of advertising and marketing, and it's going to knock you around like a pinball. Instead, you can come into the world and not have to worry about what might happen, but be ready for what might happen. And I might explore that one next week. So anyway, all right, be well, you guys. Talk to you next week. And all the